Back to your calls very shortly, 1300 736 736. But for Beaumont Tiles, choose Beaumont's. They're here to help you get your reno done. Their stores are open. Sean Higgins, star from the Kangaroos, has been good enough to join me for a chat. And the Victorian government confirming earlier today, by the way, Martin Pakula confirming that AFL teams and the Melbourne Storm in this state can have full squads training together with full body contact drills if they want to from tomorrow. Now, the AFL won't allow it from tomorrow because they want to get a level playing field for every team around the country, and not every state is in a position to allow that. But it does open the door for teams in Victoria to get together here in full groups in a lockdown facility. Sean Higgins has been good enough to join me. Welcome to you, Sean. It's getting brighter by the day, this picture of resumption.
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me, Dwayne, and good to be with you again. It does feel like we're in a position where we're getting closer and there's some exciting news. And I mean, as a player, we're just awaiting what that looks like from the AFL and also the parameters for us to be able to get back in training. But clearly some positive stuff, and I think we're all excited with that news.
Have you penciled in next Monday, May 18, like most players? Adam Simpson, coach of the West Coast Eagles, said today that if they had two or three days where their quarantine players weren't able to train with the full group, that it wouldn't be a hassle for them. They'd just go with the flow and accept it. It's starting to look like next Monday might be the day.
Yeah, there's been some news around that. I mean, we've been in a position, our football club, that we've been prepared to go as quickly as need be. So that would be a great result for us. But like I said, we're sort of just sitting back and waiting for what the results and the information that comes across tomorrow will outline. And like you said, I think we're all optimistic and hopeful that it is sooner rather than later. And if that's the case, then, you know, we're pumped with that result. It feels like we've been building for this for a long time, and maybe the last couple of weeks we've moved a little bit quicker than we would have first thought, which I think's been a great thing for all the footy lovers. And yeah, personally, I'm really excited to get back out there. And as you mentioned, hopefully that is next week.
And I presume you haven't been told what the biosecurity guidelines are going to be for yourselves just yet from the AFL. That's still to come, or the AFLPA haven't told you yet?
Yeah, so I'm imagining that we'll get updated tomorrow. There has been, in terms of testing, that all players will be tested by the end of this week, and then it looks like there'll be regular twice-a-week testing for players or staff, whoever's in the internal environment. So there's some of the measures I've heard so far, but as you said, we're just waiting to receive more clarification on what all the protocols are, along with the timelines, and hopefully we get that in the next 24 to 48 hours.
I'll play a little bit of Frank Panisi, the Melbourne Storm football boss, explaining the protocols for them as of tomorrow. They've got 50 players and staff that are allowed into their locked-off facility at Amy Park, and all those 50 players and staff are not allowed to have visitors to their home for the whole season. They're not allowed to go to the shop for the whole season. You can only go out of your home essentially for training or to play, or for medical reasons. Here's Frank Panisi on the biosecurity guidelines that the Melbourne Storm players have as their big protocol system as of tomorrow.
The NRL had to provide a very strict set of protocols that clubs have to follow to be allowed to be given that exemption. And so at the moment, we're in the process down at Amy Park of creating what's called a clean zone, within an exclusive clean zone for us to go through, where the 50 nominated people, 32 players and 18 football staff, are the only ones in that area, which is basically the gym, their locker rooms, the training field itself, and offices and meeting rooms. So that's part of the protocols to get those exemptions. So it's just not as normal practice. We actually have to create that area, and that's what we're doing in the next 48 hours. When you're nominated as part of the 50, you sign a waiver. And one of those conditions in the waiver outside your training facility is basically you go home. Include things like you can only travel to training on your own, no carpooling unless it's in. You get granted permission to do so for extreme reasons. unless it's for a medical reason or a few other reasons, you basically can't leave home. And I think, that players have got, and staff have got no choice. That's what we signed up for. And it's just to allow, to minimise the risk of infection. You'll never minimise it completely, but it's we're going to make it as minimal as possible as we can. So we understand. We knew what we're signing up for. But ultimately, it's about, you know, training again and playing the game. So we understand that the sacrifice is required and no one's really complaining. Everyone's just moving on.
Frank Panisi, Melbourne Storm boss, Sean. Have the AFLPA indicated to you that they might have the same protocols for you guys? You might have the same protocols where you can't leave your home other than to go to training and the games for the next 20-odd weeks?
I haven't. We haven't been privy to that information or discussion yet. Clearly, that's interesting audio and a detailed protocol system put in place. I think the way that he finished off was probably relevant to my point of view, that we'll do what's needed. But what's needed at this stage, I'm not entirely clear on exactly what that is. So, like I said, hopefully in the next couple of days that becomes more clear and maybe the AFL's working through that at the moment. And as you said, trying to make it a level playing field across all states. And then the flow and effect would that be to try and work out a timeline that caters for everyone. But there will be measures put in place. I think we're all open to that. What that looks like, I'm not sure yet, Dwayne.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be a surprise to the player group as a whole, the 800-odd players, if those were the types of measures that were brought in for your biosecurity in the AFL.
Yeah, it's the first time I've heard in detail the lengths that they're going to. Whether we go to those lengths, I'm not sure. I haven't thought too much around that. You know, at first, my first take on that is that they were pretty comprehensive, weren't they?
Yeah. And staff, you know, too. Not just the players.
I'll personally be willing to do what's needed to do to play. And I think we all know we need to minimise risk. It's not just for us personally, but it's for the greater good of the game. And if we had some sort of breakout, then obviously that would set us back in some regards. So to try and minimise those risks. But yeah, like I said, the details surrounding them, I'm not 100% clear on yet, or we haven't been spoken to in regards to that. So it's a bit of a wait and see there. But, it's an interesting time because clearly there's still risk throughout the community. And there are a number of cases still being detected in the community, and you know, we're part of that, but at the same time we're trying to get a competition up and running in an environment where we'll go to training and we will be the only ones there, but then we also have to live a life outside of that, so there's got to be some compromises along the way.
I know you won't want to comment on the Crows specifically, but I talked to Dane Zorko yesterday and he said that the Brisbane Lions players have, because you're all involved with each other on WhatsApp groups and various ways of, you know, training just one-on-one with each other, they've been really careful as to not to accidentally bump into another group of two at an oval or not bump into a group of four at a cafe. Have you been kind of the same, a bit overly cautious and going beyond the realms just to make sure that nothing accidental happens?
Yeah, so what we've been doing is on our daily catch-up as a group or in smaller groups, we have that discussion, and it's just to keep it front of mind as a playing group that, look, we've done a lot of good work here and we've ticked a lot of the right boxes and doing what we need to do. So let's not slip up in that regard, and to help educate the younger guys that if you are catching up with one of the boys to do a training session and you're in the area of vicinity or oval of guys from our club, then if there's someone training there, then, you know, come back another time and let's make sure we're doing the right thing and seem to be doing the right thing. And I think by having daily discussion around that and just reminding players, then hopefully it minimises the risk of a little mishap or a slip up in that regard. So as a football club, we've definitely been doing that right through to, you know, as early as yesterday that we had the same discussion around that as a playing group, just to say, look, we're really close. Let's keep doing the right thing and allow the competition to get back as quickly as possible.
Did you know that the AFL, because I didn't know that the AFL had allowed the quarantine hubs of 16 people. I didn't realise they'd ticked off on that. Was that a surprise to you to hear that they'd ticked off on clubs doing that?
Sorry, I just missed you there, Dwayne.
Sorry. I was surprised when I heard that the AFL had ticked off on a quarantine hub being allowed with 16 people at the one hotel. I was a bit surprised that was ticked off on. Were you surprised to hear that as well?
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that, obviously, because I wasn't in a situation where it needed to be across that in the state that I had played. But different circumstances for different people in different states, I'm sure. And we're just going to make sure whatever is ticked off that we abide by those guidelines and like I said, try and do the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And to Dan Zorko was kind of saying the same thing. They'd gone beyond the realms of any possibility of four people accidentally catching up with each other together. You looked like Ben Amafio made contact with me last week when Jeff Kennett was on the program, saying that as committed as Hawthorn are to play their games in Launceston, North Melbourne's committed to playing games in Hobart, even without crowds. Do you see it as important as to be able to do that as well, if that's what your footy club needs?
Yeah, and we're in really strong on that from the outset, as long as we're able to do that. But for our relationship between the football club and Hobart has been great for a long period of time, and we hope continues to do so. And if that means getting down there and playing, then hopefully that is allowed and a huge part of that. So we're committed to that, and I'm sure that'll come out in the wash as well over the next couple of days and when the outlook of the season is clear to all of us.
Have you been doing much kicking? Well, Dane Zorko also said that that's probably the biggest thing. Getting the body contact is going to, the bruises are going to probably hit home hardest when you get finally body contact training, and kicking is going to be something that they're desperate to be doing. Have you had many long ball in hand drills, just one-on-one, that you've been able to do, or has that been really difficult?
Oh, a little bit of both, to be honest. I actually just came off a football session over the last couple of hours. But yeah, it's difficult in a sense that limited numbers, but at the same time, it's important because you can do all the running in the world, and when you get back training and kicking, and kick, especially kicking over distances, that most of the time is what takes you longer to recover from than the ground that's covered in terms of running. So, yeah, we've stepped that up over the last couple of weeks, and particularly this week, a much stronger focus on the football component of our training. And like I said, in my program, I've just had a one-on-one training session with the footballs.
Great to have a chat, dear Sean. When's the Mindfulness in Sport podcast that you put together each week come out this week?
It'll be out Friday, Dwayne. So another great episode, and then another episode to drop in another week is an interview. We've had a chat with Carol Fox, who is president of the Women's Sport Australia. So an intriguing interview there. Hopefully cover a wide range of issues as well. So stay tuned for both of them.
And last question, have you found that your leadership and your ability to be a standard setter with the club's been more important in this period that we've just come off than it's ever been before?
Yeah, that's been interesting because clearly there's been less contact, but in some ways more of an importance on that. So the day-to-day contact in the football club has clearly not been there, and there's just then had to go around other forms and other ways to be able to provide leadership. And like I said, probably more important with times like these because younger guys haven't been exposed to football long, let alone an environment where they're tried to keep up standards and training and protocols while at home and isolating from the rest of the football players and also the football club. So, it's been a great learning and development for myself through this period, through coaching and leadership and making sure that our younger guys are maintaining the standards and levels that are required, and then just touching base with the entire playing group and staff at the football club from a well-being point of view to make sure that their frame of mind and they are personally in a really good space with their family. So great learnings out of the last couple of months that I'm sure all of us can take forward into our life.
And are you as amazed that, I don't know if you saw the Joel Selwood TikTok video that he put up, mopping the floor with his wife's hair video that she put up as well. We're told by Carolyn Wilson last night that the Geelong Footy Club preferred that he took it down. It's a difficult space that you live in these days, Sean, with everything being scrutinised so closely. A video that's seen as fun to some can be seen as something completely different to others.
Yeah, and we mentioned the mindful space, isn't it? But we just got to be mindful of what we put up. I haven't been across that in detail, to be honest, but I mean, speaking personally,